Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What a beautiful song to segue into giving God's word. Jesus, I love you. And if we act like Jesus and we loved others like he loved us, the world would be a better place. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm coming to you today from the book of Genesis. Amen. But before I do that, I want to thank the church for allowing me to come back and be amongst Christians. Because we definitely, iron sharpens iron in Proverbs 27 and 17. And we need churches to get back to the basics. We don't need this motivational speaker stuff. We don't need this just getting our fix on. We don't need this just going to the ATM and just doing it. We need to get involved. We need to get Jesus in us so we can give it to the world. Hallelujah. COVID is here, but Jesus is bigger than COVID. We need him. We need him in our life, in our spirit. Jesus, I love you. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for allowing me to come and speak. And now I want to pray before I get into the word. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to come before your people to speak your word. As I decrease and you close my mouth, Father God, open yours to be able to touch the people that are going through. Father God, everybody's fighting and arguing, but they're not trying to get to the source. They need to conduit to be able to heal themselves and what they're going through mentally, physically, and spiritually, Father God. Allow them to receive something. Those that are under my voice as well as on Zoom. Father God, we need a revival. We need a swiftness of your Holy Spirit in this world so we can understand what your purpose is for our lives. You created us for your glory to tell your story. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm coming to you guys from, if you don't mind standing, from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. And this is an excellent, excellent passage that I love. Hallelujah. And I'm coming to you from the King James Version. And it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Verse 2, he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, him there for a burnt offering among one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." Hallelujah. Verse 3, Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and took two of these young men with him, and Isaac and his son, and clave the wood from the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Obedience, I like that. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abram said to his young men, "Abide ye here with this donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come back again to you." Hallelujah. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. Ha. And then they went both of them together. And Isaac spake upon Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Woo! And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. Hallelujah. And then it came to the place where God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar, and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And he's and the angel of the Lord called upon him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I am thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a ram in the bush. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Caught in the thickets by his thorns, his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt sacrifice offering in the instead of his son. And Abraham called out the name of this place, Jehovah Jireh. And he said to this day, and this mount of the Lord shall be seen. Amen. The reason why I like this, verse, you may be seated. Thank you. The reason why I like this is because it's very dear to us as Christians. And the Lord will provide if we don't complain. There's a ram in the bush that God wants us to have. And as I get into this, if you look at this, God allowed Abraham, he gave him a promise. But in this, I want you to understand, I want you to really catch this. God tested Abraham. This was not so much a test to produce faith as it was a test to reveal faith. Talk to me now. God built Abraham slowly, piece by piece, year by year, into a man of faith. This test will reveal some of the faith that God has built into Abraham. We need to have more faith. Hallelujah. See, God wants us to know that he is in control. And then the Jewish people thought that God tested his faith 10 times 10 in this particular situation. And then here where Abraham says, and this is what I love. He said, here I am. Abraham answered quick to God's call in a wonderful example how a man or woman of faith should respond to God. When Abraham said, here I am, it meant that he was ready to be taught, ready to obey, ready to surrender. He was ready to be examined by God. Depending on the circumstances, if God calls you, you might doubt it. You don't know what God's plan is for your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, God told him, take your only son. God called Isaac your only son. And when in fact, Abraham had another son. And there you go. See, you need to know the story to understand this situation. God don't make mistakes. So he said, since Ishmael was put away from Abraham's family in Genesis chapter 21, verse 8 and 14, as far as God's covenant was concerned, Abraham only had one son. So when God said that, he said, your only son whom you love. Counting from Genesis, this is the first mention of love in the Bible. The first mention of love. And then he said, take your only son. If you start thinking and you've been studying the word of God, do you remember when God sent his only son, Jesus, down for us? Hallelujah. So if you understand this, the first mention comes in the context of love between a father and a son, connected with the ideal of a sacrificial offering of the son. Hallelujah, a burnt offering. God told Abraham to offer him as a burnt offering. This was not an offering that was burnt alive, but one with the life taken by sacrifice and then the body completely burned before the Lord. See, back in those days, hallelujah, the priests of many Canaanite gods said that their gods demanded human sacrifice. But see, people thought that was normal. But God came as a God to say, I don't want that. I don't want what your other gods have. I'm going to show you something different. See, when God came down, he looked at Abraham so he can test his faith because Abraham already had faith. But when God enhances it, it's almost like when God gives somebody a talent, you can sit on that talent, but what are you doing to enhance it? And you look at athletes, some of them are born, and the way these guys are getting paid, they're getting $40, $50 million to do nothing but to sit on the bench and then complain they're hurt. But see, in life, when God gives you something, what are you doing to take it to the next level? Abraham was one that did that. Amen. Hallelujah. And as we look here, Abraham believed in God. When Abraham might have wondered if Yahweh, the God of the covenant and creator of heaven and earth, was like the pagan gods, the Canaanites, and other worship. But by the end of the story, Abraham knew God was not like pagan gods, and that didn't demand human sacrifice. In truth, God was the opposite. See, this is this interesting story. How would we react if God told us such things? Many years ago, a man named Jack, it was in his commentary, when he heard the story and wrote this Bible incident, he said that most people, if God told us to take our only son, we would have the mindset to say, God, mind your own business. Think about it. If God told you to take your only son that you love, and you would say like, well, wait a minute, something going on, somebody's tripping. This is my only son. And we have it in the natural too. You know, this is my only son. God, why are you doing that? We would tell God to mind his business if we were in the mindset of a human. Think about it. We want what we want, but yet we want God to be our provider. But yet, how are we going to get a ram in the bush when we complain? Oh my God. So it can't be denied that either out of madness or a demonic deception, some have done terrible things just to justify it. There was a situation where a man literally killed his daughter back in 1963, and he used the mindset that I'm waiting on God to bring this child back to life. See, there's some deranged people out there that thinks that they can basically talk for God. See, God would not do that in this day and age. He did that to prove a point back then. See, we got to learn how to be in touch with God, not ourselves. Hallelujah. So what was here? The man was obviously just deranged. But see, when we look at things, there's no way God would ever direct someone to do this same thing today, as we will be shortly demonstrated. A significant point of the story is to demonstrate that God did not, in fact, want this kind of sacrifice. We have to understand the context of this situation. The test was difficult in yet another aspect, because it seemed to be contradicting the previous promise God had already gave Abraham. God had already promised him, and he said, "In Isaac, your seed shall be called what?" Hallelujah. It seems strange and contradictory to kill the son who you promised to carry on the covenant. When it had not yet been fulfilled, it seemed as if God commanded Abraham to kill the very promise he made to him. See, we look at the promise, not the promiser. See, when God tells us something, there's a path we got to go down. He wants to test our faith, but if we get caught up in the mindset of what we want and start complaining, we're going to miss the blessing. See, God has a ram in the bush, and I'm just going to have to go on because I'm looking at time, but God has a ram caught in the bush. But if we start complaining, we won't be able to see it because we're focusing on things of the world. God knows what he has for us. He understands what we need, and we have to look at it from God's perspective. And this is the thing, what we do is we go and we complain and we look at other people instead of God. Abraham knew before he even knew anything about a resurrection of Lazarus. It was the first time he said, well, God will do it. He didn't know anything. He was going to take that. And when he got up, he just got up in the morning. God told me, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be obedient. I'm not worried about my wife. I'm not worried about my son. God gave me instructions. I need to listen to God. He gave me life. He's my provider. He's the man who created me. Why am I worried about you? Why am I worried about you? He knows what I need. Did he complain once? He got up. He got up, and before Lazarus was raised from the dead, his mind said, I'm going to do what I'm told. I'm going to do what God has instructed me to do. I got to get up, and I got to take this knife, and I got to take my son as a sacrifice. Most of us would have been, look, take a knife for my son? And I know what a sacrifice is. Are you tripping? I must be high. I must be smoking weed because my brain ain't working properly. How is my mind telling me to kill my only son that God promised? He promised to me, so something ain't right. But am I listening to me or I'm listening to the promiser who promised me this? Sometimes we got to stop and think and rebuke our own mind because our mind can get us in trouble. It can take us places we don't need. But if you're a Christian, you need to seek the will of God. How often do we do things and we don't seek God's will? We seek our will, and then we seek this brother's will. And then when the brother tells you something, you get mad at the brother. First of all, you shouldn't have went to the brother. You should have went to the father. God is telling us that we got to be able to trust him. Abraham showed obedience that he trusted God, even when he did not feel like it. This is not in a line in the text about Abraham's how he felt, not because he didn't feel, but because he walked by faith, not by feelings. Woo, we need to walk by faith. But there was not a word of argument. There was not one solitary question that even looks like hesitation. He seems to say, and he says, not for me to ask why or to seek a reason for bidding. He said, I will do it. How often do we say we would do something? If there's nothing in it for me, what am I going to do for it? Brother, you call me at 2 o'clock in the morning. First thing I say, brother, before the call comes, you need me. I'm a Christian. I'm going to be there for you, brother. Then he gets the call. Man, have you lost your mind? Why are you calling me this early? See, we say we one thing, but when we test it, another thing comes out. God is saying, this is a church where I'm building faith. And when I call you, are you ready? He said, I'm going to come as a thief in the night. And a thief don't come when you're at home. God wants us to have a ready spirit. He wants to have an Abraham spirit. He wants us to have a mindset. And you know what? If you look at it, he wants us to have an Isaac spirit. Because Isaac went along with it as well. Isaac said, Dad, where's the sacrifice? And Dad said, it's here. Isaac could have... Back then, oh, hallelujah, Holy Spirit, I wish I had more time. Oh, my God, but I'm just going to finish it the way the Lord wants me to finish it. But at that time, Abraham was 100 years old, and Isaac was 33. If you go put a knife in me, I'm going to run. I ain't going to let you do it to me, Daddy. And nowadays, with these kids, they'll tell Daddy, are you tripping? Are you tripping? But Isaac went along with it. Isaac said, that's my father. I know he knows what's best for me. But are we seeking God's will and knowing what's best for God? For God knowing what's best for us? We got to understand, if we trust God, then we need to trust him. We don't need to be complaining, because the Lord will provide a ram in a bush if you don't complain. See, sometimes God is testing you. He knows what he did. What did he say in Jeremiah 29 and 11? Come on, brother, with that deep voice. Talk to me. Talk to me. Tell me what he said. Amen. Well, and the point is, he knows what is designed for you. And if you just go and trust him, it's just like a mama telling a child, I got you. You see all of these kids, and you see a little child, maybe 2 to 3 years old, and she look around and don't see nothing. Then as soon as she see her mama or father, she feels good. We need to trust God. The God of our lives want us, hallelujah, to have more faith We worried about everything, but we diminishing God. We want a lot of the world and a little of God. We want a lot of this and a little of God. God said in Matthew, and one day I'm going to preach on it. He said, you call me Lord and obey me not. You call me the way and walk me not. You call me light and seek me not. If I condemn you, blame me not. Hallelujah. We want God in our lives, but we don't want to do the things that it takes to walk that faith, to be that that conduit that God wants us to be. He said, I want a ram. There's a ram in the bush for you, deacon, but you got to be able to get up and do something. Stop staying at home and talking about, I'm saved, I'm this and I'm that. God wants you to get out of the house. He wants you to be able to testify. He wants you to go to the post office, and he wants you to smile so somebody can see Jesus in you. You might be the only Jesus they see, but then you need to be able to say, God, lead me where you want me to go. The story of this message, and I couldn't get into it and give you the meat because of the time, but the story of the message is Abraham was obedient. He went where God told him to go. And when he got up to Mount Moriah, God told him here, and he went there, and then he talked about the Lord will provide. When he got up there, he named the mountain, the Lord will provide, because God will provide for all of us. All of us is in this together. We're many members for one body, but all we do is complain. All we do is talk about one another. We see people and we don't show the God in us because we're looking at what they got on. We're looking at how they look. But you know what? If God expose your skeleton, we all be the same. We all be hiding because God, oh, he said, I love the sinner, but I hate sin. But we treat sin like misdemeanors and felony when God just says, come as you are. How can I come in here and all I got is tattoos all over me and you look at me? My point is, Abraham had faith. We as a church, we got a ram in the bush, but we can't get the ram. And I'm not talking about the rams that's playing later on. I'm talking about something where you thought you weren't gonna get a bill paid, where you thought your body was gonna reject something. That ram in the bush might be that medicine that God allowed you to do. Say, wait a minute, let me pray about it. Then by the time you pray, the doctor comes and says, by the way, there's some new medicine. You wanna try it? But if you just jump into what you want, then you're gonna still have what you want. Be like Jacob. Get a thorn in your side. Get a thorn to remind you of Jesus, how Jesus took you out of where you used to be. Get a thorn in your side to know that God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Because you know what? We tried it our way. What is our way did? All we do is, hallelujah. We need some tissues for our issues. You got that car. You got everything you asked for. But then when you get it, you're complaining. Some of us got everything. You go and look in your garage, you got stuff that you know you don't need. When was the last time you gave it away? When was the last time you put a coat, and it's kind of cold, my brother. You put a coat in your car and you saw homeless people. Don't ask no questions, just give it to them. This is what following God. This is what a ram in the bush means. We got to stop. Hallelujah. I got to be obedient to the time. But man, we got to stop talking about we Christians and we act like Matthew. Deacon Johnson, all the Phyllis, we got to start representing God. When you go to work, do you go to work to do your job? If you don't do your job, will they tell you, I'm sorry, but we got to let you go? What if Jesus say that to you? I'm sorry, but the way you living, I got to let you go. Oh my God, Abraham knew that I got to be obedient. If he start thinking about the promise and he start looking at the way God designed things, he would have been caught up. Sometimes, Mama, I'm looking at you. I know sometimes you say, boy, don't you talk back. You better listen to me. God is trying to tell us don't talk back. God is telling us don't complain. I created you, and I know what's best for you. But how are you going to get to me if you're complaining about everything? I don't like a complainer. I don't, because you know what? Ooh. God gave us 2 ears, 1 mouth to listen twice as much as we speak. Half of us, even in marriages, we don't hear what they say. She could have said, baby, I got your food in the oven. Where's my food? You ain't listening, so you can't get it. God is trying to, And I really want to talk. Ooh, you better be lucky I can't go into overtime. Because I'm telling you, there's a ram in the bush, but I never got it because all I do is complain. I never got my child where he needs to go because all I do is complain. God is telling us, church, all of us, we got a ram in the bush. If the ram is in the bush, all you got to do is seek the person that provided the ram. Why are you complaining? And why do you go to your friend? And you know what? I'm just going to keep it real. I'm sorry. Stop complaining about the same thing every Sunday. Trust God. You hear God. Blah, 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 blah. It's like you look into yourself. There's a ram in the bush for all of us. All we got to do is stop complaining and seek God and his will. And then you will come in one day. Woo! What is your name, ma'am? Mary. There's something different about Mary. Did she hit the lotto? Did she get her severance pay? No, she just got that ram in the bush. Hallelujah. I can't go on because of the time, but I want to. I want to. Hallelujah. Jesus. Bobby, you sung too many songs, but I ain't got nothing but love for you. Hallelujah. But the point is, I love you. And my love ain't just generic. It talks about it. We got to get to the spirit where we walk around and somebody wants what we got. We got to start saying, I need a ram in the bush. God, guide me to where my ram is, because that ram's going to get me a promotion. That ram's going to get my sister to talk to me. That ram's going to get my kid to come back. That ram's going to get my family to come together. If I just sit and remember who provides the lamb. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus.